tonight I was saved. But I want to read one verse to you. It's found in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 1. And that verse 17 there is a very special verse to me. That's the verse that the Lord called me into the ministry with. And it's no surprise considering where I'm from. But I'll read Mark 1 and the verse 17 to you. And it says there, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And you know, that there is a very familiar scene to me. And we see the Savior there by the seaside, and we see him there do a work in hearts and call his disciples unto himself, and not only call them unto himself, but call them into the ministry and call them to preach the word. And I had a very similar experience growing up in Port of Ogie. We're away down the Ars Peninsula there. I don't know how many of you know it. Some of you probably don't know it and don't know where it's at. But I was raised there in Port of Ogie, and that has a wee fishing village down the Ars Peninsula. And truly, we were blessed many times. The Lord visited us many times with blessing. And it was a great privilege to have the Savior's presence there, because the Savior was there and the Savior saved my soul. You know, I didn't always have the privilege of knowing the gospel. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And my parents weren't saved, but I was sent faithfully along to Sunday school every Sunday. I was sent to a wee Sunday school and a Presbyterian church, and I was sent to a wee gospel meeting and a gospel hall. And I would love to be able to say here tonight that that's where I heard the gospel, and that's where I was told of my need to get saved. But in those meetings, I never knew how to be saved. I never knew that I needed to be saved. I walked out of those meetings without the vital knowledge that I needed Jesus Christ as my own and my personal Savior. And I can remember the preacher there in one of those churches was a woman. That woman told us nothing of Christ. She told us nothing of being saved. She shouldn't have even been in the office of a minister. You know, the last time I heard about her, she was sitting in a fellowship meeting with a Roman Catholic priest. You know, I didn't hear nothing of my need, and I imagined that at the end of my life, if I was good enough and I went to enough church services and I submitted to maybe some of the teachings of the Bible, that my good works would be enough, that my good works would outweigh my bad works, and then I would get into heaven. And yet I was so mistaken, because the Word of God says, by the law there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. There'll be no man righteous in God's sight by law keeping. But I imagined that that was my way to heaven. I imagined that that was my way of attaining salvation. And yet how wrong I was. And I left that Sunday school without any knowledge whatsoever of the true message of the gospel. Well, I knew that Jesus Christ went to a cross, but I never knew why he went there. I knew he came to this earth, but I never really knew why he came. To me, Christ was just a martyr. And so I went forth with that knowledge, without that knowledge that I needed of the gospel, but the Lord is merciful. And the Lord will accomplish his own ends by his own means. It wasn't too long after that I have an elder brother called Samuel. And Samuel began to attend the local Free Presbyterian Church. Now for us that was awful. And we were brought up staunch Presbyterians. Well, still am a Presbyterian, but we were brought up in a Presbyterian system, and you're always taught, do not go near the Free Presbyterian Church. You don't go there. You don't go and hear their preachers. They'll brainwash you. They'll convert you. Whatever we imagine was happening. You just did not go to the Free Presbyterian Church. And he began to go. And I remember week upon week he began to go again. And he began to go again. And I marveled at this. I thought, well, it's bad enough going to church once on a Sunday. Never mind going twice. And he was going twice every single week. And it wasn't long before I got the news. I remember my mum coming in to me. My mum saying to me, Samuel's got saved. And I said, well, what do you mean he's got saved? What has he got saved from? She said to me, he's been saved by God. And he's saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, through his faithful witness, I began to realize that my good works would not prevail with God. And I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord was good. I remember going into a gospel mission one evening in the Free Church. And again, that was a thing in itself, me going in there. But I went because my brother asked me to go. And I loved him and respected him enough to go and to hear what they had to say. And I remember that night it was the Reverend Stanley Barnes who was preaching. And I never heard preaching like that in my life. Never heard the gospel so clearly. I remember that night I was under conviction. I was bothered about my soul. I thought to myself, well, I would like to get saved. But at the end of that meeting, I walked out and I trampled upon the blood of Christ and I said no to God and I never got saved. I walked away. And it wasn't long then till I got the gospel out of my head and I went out into this world. And that was only ever going to be a tragedy for me. You know, I remember one evening lying in my bed and I began to think of the gospel. I remember thinking about the Lord and I cursed the Lord in my bedroom that evening. I cursed his name. I cursed all that he was. I cursed his gospel. I remember saying these words, Lord, I don't want to get saved and I don't want your salvation. And the Lord gave me my wish because the Lord departed from me that evening and I went out into the world. I don't know if any of you have been in the world, but you'll know what the world is. You'll know how evil it is. You'll know the things that you'll get caught up in the world. And I got deep and deeper and deeper into the world. And I tampered with drugs. I tampered with alcohol. I tampered with all of these things. You know, it only starts small, just a small thing. You think to yourself, well, I'm not doing too much wrong by doing that. But then it becomes you need more and you need more and you need more of these things. You need more to give you that buzz. You need more to get you drunk. And I would have lay in hospital beds at night and I would have lay on streets shivering with my brother, lying there drunk, nowhere to stay. And I was spoiled for this world. And I remember one evening I decided, well, I'm going to go out tonight and I'm going to get drunk. And that turned into one day of getting drunk. And then that turned into 2 days of getting drunk. And then I remember waking up in a hospital bed. And I looked that evening and I looked and there was doctors all around me. And I remember one thing, they called out my name in that bed and I answered. And the doctors were absolutely relieved. They were so relieved to hear me answer. And my mom was there by my side and I said to my mom, what has happened? Mom said, them doctors needed to resuscitate you tonight. I was so drunk after 2 days, and I was only 15 years old. And did that teach me, no? Because I went further, and I went all the harder into the things of the world. Death didn't scare me. And the only thing that kept me out of hell was the love and the grace of God. And the Lord was going to intervene in my life again. I have a twin brother at home there in Porto Vogue. And he had a lot of problems at that time. And he came in to me one day and he said to me, Matthew, I've got news to tell you. I've got saved. And that there really, in all honesty, it broke my heart because me and him were close. We've always been close. We still are close. He's my best friend to this day. And we went about Porto Vogue. They used to call us the Terrible Twins. And he said, here comes the Terrible Two. And we were terrible. But we were so close. We were inseparable. And then I knew that day, I said, well, he'll go his way and I'll go my way because I'm not getting saved. And I used to mock him. I used to try to get him out into the drink again. But you know, the Lord was going to speak to me again because there was a woman that I cared very dearly for, a woman that helped to raise me. And she was a Roman Catholic woman, but I loved her very much. And she went to the hospital one evening and she went and she asked the doctor, that she wasn't feeling well. She's called Dolores. And Dolores went home that night and her husband the next morning found her dead in her bed. You know, I just remember that hitting me and I said to myself, that's how easy life can be taken away. And that was around the July time and I began to be bothered in my soul. I began to see myself as a sinner. I began to see myself before God. I began to feel his wrath. I began to feel that I was the only person in the world who could see the danger that was before me, that I was condemned and that there was no hope of salvation. I couldn't drink anymore without feeling the pangs of conviction. I couldn't do the things that I used to anymore without feeling the pangs of conviction. And I tried to block it all out. I tried everything. I tried drugs again. I tried drink again. I thought, I'll just get this out of my mind. But I got to the point where I could no longer take it. And I remember 19th of August, 8 years ago today, I went to my mom. I says, Mom, I'm so bothered. And she knew right away. You know, my mom wasn't a saved woman, but she knew enough to know that the Lord was speaking. And I went to the home with the Reverend John Armstrong. And he told me a wonderful thing because I told Mr. Armstrong, I've sinned against God. And he told me of Jesus Christ. And there's a fact that he told me that thrilled my soul. He told me that night, even me, the worst of sinners, could be saved. And that if I came to Christ that night, he would save me. And I came that night and the Lord saved me. and he washed me in his precious blood. And I remember the peace that came over my soul. And you know, after that I had to take up my cross. I had to give up many things. I had to give up the lifestyle. I had to give up things that I didn't want to give up, but I wanted to do it because I love the Lord. I had to follow the Lord fully, and I wanted to do his will. And it wasn't long after that, about 4 months after I got saved, I remember a burden began to come upon my heart, and the Lord was calling me into the ministry. And that was the biggest shock that I got in my life. The last person anybody would expect to go into the ministry was me. I never in my life imagined that I would do this or I would do what I'm doing tonight. I never imagined that I would be a preacher. And anybody you ask today and you tell them I'm a preacher, they're shocked. But I began to have that burden. I said, Lord, if you want me to go to the ministry, I'll go. You need to make that clear. And he spoke to me through that verse in Mark 1, verse 17. And I said, Lord, that is clear, but make it clearer. We went into a youth weekend. I remember there, we were up in Port Ross there, and we were by the seaside, and I hadn't told my minister about this, and he began to preach. And at the end of that meeting, out of absolutely nowhere, and he even felt, he told me after this that it was so random, but he felt the Lord had led him to say it. He said, maybe there's a young man here and you've been considering a call and a full-time service. So let the Lord speak to you through that verse from Mark 1, verse 17. Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. I knew then that I had to go, and I began to prepare to go into the ministry for many years after that. And you know, the Lord has blessed my home in such a way. And you all are very aware of my mom. You've heard enough about her, and she's been here with us. But about 2 years after I got saved, my mom got saved. And the Lord began to work in my family, and he saved another parent. And you know, the Lord is good, and the Lord is gracious. And he's done so much for me, and you know, things haven't been easy. I've said this is the hardest year of my life, and I've had to go through things, but I've got through with the help of God. And I can say through everything that the Lord does all things well. He never makes mistakes. He's had a mixture of sadness, I've had a mixture of blessing, but I go through it all because I love him and I want to serve him. We sung it at the beginning of the service, and that's why I sung it. I love that hymn because that will be a wonderful day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't wait till I can look him eye to eye and see my Savior and tell him how much I love him. I love him for saving me. I love him for all he has done for me. Me going into the ministry is but a small price to pay for all that he has done for me. I ask you tonight, what of you? Do you know the Savior? Can you stand before him with confidence, and will you be able to tell him like I can tell him how much you love him? I pray you well for Jesus' sake. Amen.